Fawzia Koofi, a prominent Afghan politician and activist, was nominated in 2020 for the Nobel Peace Prize for her role in representing the Afghan government in negotiations with the Taliban and her work to uphold women's rights in the country. Formerly a member of the Afghan Parliament and the Vice President of the National Assembly, she is now the leader of a newly established political party, Movement for Change for Afghanistan, and the first woman to lead a political party in the country. During the IBA's Global Showcase Conference, she spoke about the devastating impact of the Taliban takeover, particularly on women's rights and religious minorities, and her hopes and fears for the country's future. Here she describes what went wrong with the US withdrawal negotiations and what she thinks could have been done differently.
The talks were slow, we know that, but let's remember that this is a conflict over four decades, so very long, multidimensional conflict. The expectation to resolve it and to build trust by both sides to get to an agreement in a matter of few months probably was a bit of an optimistic expectation. We did not have the required progress we wanted, but we had started discussion on issues of substance. But when the U.S. president announced withdrawal, this was the time that Taliban also refused to attend the Istanbul conference, which was planned. And the aim of that conference was for all sides to come together and to create a political roadmap, which will then be narrated and spelled out again in Doha. So they will basically agree on major issues, which will then be detailed in Doha. But when the Taliban heard that the U.S. is withdrawing, they actually denied to attend that conference. And after a few days of talks that were stalled, we resumed the talks, and we already have had a sense that they're not any longer serious on the negotiations. So that was, I think, the outcome of the withdrawal without any conditions. I know that things could have been done differently to avoid where we are. One of the things that I think could have been done to avoid the situation is the United States withdrawal policy. Now, they have been in Afghanistan. I know that many countries in the world, including the citizens of the United States, are not pro this very long war. Many anti-war movements were against it. But this was presence in Afghanistan was for a different reason. Initially, it was warmly welcomed by people of Afghanistan. So we know that they were not there to stay forever, but only if some things could have done differently. For instance, only if the U.S. withdrawal could have happened in few months' time. So instead of focusing on the date for withdrawal, if they could focus on certain conditions to boost the peace process. I think we even had an agreement accepted by both sides, 50% or even less, was much better than having a situation that we have now.
Koofi says the aftermath of the withdrawal has been catastrophic.
Our hope was that during the negotiation, we get to some sort of agreement that the Taliban will accept a coexistence of all citizens, including women and religious minorities. But we know that during 15th of August, their military extremist groups actually entered Kabul, and the more hardliners, I would say, entered Kabul, and they seem to be less respectful of those promises that their political offices, office in Qatar, was showing through their generic media statements or even in the negotiation with us. We know that their hardliners that actually entered Kabul are not following the same line. So we know that girls don't go to school. We know that women don't go to work. We know that journalists and media are being oppressed and a lot of censorship in the media. We know that people, that they are being tortured. Some of them are actually being killed, extrajudiciary killings. We don't have a systematic reporting system, but we know that girls don't go to school, women don't go to work. Now, for the international community, I think still you have leverage to play. You have leverage to use, and the leverage you can use is, first of all, your aid. I know that the situation in Afghanistan is a catastrophe, but I think ensuring that women are part of the aid distribution, that religious minorities are part of the aid distribution, that aid distribution is non-politicized, is a leverage.
Fufi was inspired to go into politics when she witnessed firsthand the Taliban's attitudes towards women during their governance of Afghanistan in the late 1990s.
They became the second-class citizens of their country, and they were whipped in front of my eyes. I myself, when I went to see my husband in prison, when the Taliban put him in prison, I went to see him. The Taliban, one of the Taliban guys picked up a stone and almost wanted to beat me because I wear that nail polish and I forgot to clean the nail polish. And for him, it was a means of attraction if a woman is wearing nail polish to attract a man. So it was un-Islamic from his point of view. And all of this actually cultivated something. I ran for politics and I was, elected member of parliament and then vice president of the parliament. But that was not enough. I wanted to really change things. So with a group of female parliamentarians and civil society activists, we started working on these laws, the evil or the law on violence against women, the law on anti-harassment, the law on sheer personal status, the law on to promote girls' education. All of this were first steps in a bumpy road.
She says today she's devastated to see the rollback of women's rights in the country, but says there's still a window of opportunity to change things for the better.
Now to see everything and my efforts, and well, I'm still hopeful that when I return, at least the minimum I could do is to be part of that social transformation, continue my struggle. But of course, it's a different journey than last year in August. I was injured in my right hand, but I always believed that this was for the right cause. We have to really give some level of sacrifice to ensure that we put the cornerstone for a progressive, different Afghanistan. That was the hope. I must say that with all the, pessimistic environment that we face now and the negative vibes that we receive every day, but still there is a window of hope, and that window of hope is the people who actually continue to do civil disobedience in the streets of Afghanistan. I think they need to be supported. But in the meantime, I know the challenges of being operational from outside, I would say, but we need to use the opportunity. We need to, the international community, the best thing we can do at this stage is work with the international community, with EU member states, with the United States, with the United Nations, that now play the more relevant role, I would say, with the humanitarian aid, managing the humanitarian aid, to make sure that they actually uphold and hold the Taliban accountable for their deeds. Because if they really want to live in peace with the world, they have to prove it. They have to prove that they are willing to form an inclusive government, because their establishment, the de facto power, is basically an interim one. They have to go for a inclusive permanent settlement, respect rights meaningfully, let girls go to school. So we have some window of opportunity, and that is an empowered nation that is protesting. A lot of people are actually leaving the country in protest, basically. They show that they are not happy. So who are Taliban going to rule if they don't listen to these people? They are not going to rule the territory, which is empty. They have to listen to these people. An international community can still use their means of contact with Taliban to hold them accountable.
Kufi says that global powers should have adopted a more accountable and responsive approach to the situation in Afghanistan.
In Afghanistan, I think I must say that we all failed to the people of Afghanistan, especially our US and our kind of main allies, the US, EU, NATO members. I think they failed to Afghanistan because the situation of human rights in Afghanistan is not just a social or political issue. We remember that in 1980s, 70s, when jihadi groups, when Mujahideen started their war against the Russia, the Soviet Union invasion in Afghanistan, they were given blank checks by the Western countries without putting certain benchmarks in terms of human rights and women rights monitoring. And we know that as a result of that, it paved the way for a re-emerge of other military extremist groups in the region after the Russians were defeated. So if EU and the US really want their own territories to be protected from further military violent extremist attacks, I think they need to make sure that that vacuum of human rights and women rights and fundamental principles of freedom are seriously prioritized by their foreign policy.
Kofi acknowledges that many countries and international organizations helped enormously to support evacuation efforts in the final months of 2021. But she says many Afghans left behind are still at risk.
There are still a lot of judges and prosecutors and journalists and people at risk because the focus has been Kabul, but provinces, access is very difficult. In the provinces, it's smaller communities. It's easy to identify people. So life has been more difficult in the provinces and villages, especially for those, local prosecutors, local judges, local defense lawyers, etc. And we need to continue this efforts. I think now it's time for the governments to move in, because all these people are in different camps. They're moved from a risk, but they are in the middle of nowhere, I would say. So they need to be supported.
Fazia Kofi's activism in Afghanistan has been crucial for the lives of women and minorities. As the Taliban takeover continues to undermine progress in the country, her remarks leave us with a message of hope and determination for change.